Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, outfitted by Iron Jock Apparel, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Dancing down the sidelines, and they catch him now! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
This is the Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube streams. We are live. Today, Pablo Iglesias is down at the Big Ten Tournament in Chicago. That means it's Riley Yount, who is decked out in his, is that a Ben Bruss jersey or what is this, a Brevin Pritzel jersey?
Yeah, probably more the Brevin Pritzel, Johnny Davis era jersey.
Okay.
One of the earlier iterations of the Under Armour template, which I will put on the screen shortly.
All righty. So we have Riley today as my co-host and producer. So he's the man of many hats today, but no Badger hat for Riley, which is actually a little bit surprising for me.
I know. I'm usually wearing a hat.
So I want to get into this right away, and that is with Badger basketball in the Big Ten tournament. And Riley, you seem to think that there is no, what's the word here, no real effect on the Badgers' future in the NCAA tournament as far as seeding, no matter what happens in this Big Ten tournament. Explain yourself, young man.
All right, I will. Yeah, I don't think it matters at all. I don't think the Big Ten tournament matters a lick for the Wisconsin Badgers. I think they are firmly secured in their sixth seed. I want them to go on a run in the Big Ten tournament. I want them to succeed today against Washington, tomorrow against Illinois, God willing, and moving forward. But even if they get bounced by the Huskies today, I think they're going to be a six. I think they'll be just fine. I'm not worried. I don't think this is going to matter at all. Regardless, I don't think it matters.
I get it. A loss in the first game, or even to Illinois for sure, likely won't do anything. But, I mean, what quad, if we want to get into this deep, what quad is Washington in? Like, losing to Illinois, you're right, not going to matter.
What, neutral site, Washington, maybe a quad two loss? Maybe a quad one loss. I don't know.
I was thinking like quad three.
I think it'd be a quad two loss.
I think it'd be a quad two loss.
Yeah. I'm not 100%
sure. I'm not
sure,
Mr. Quad
so.
Either, obviously, but it's an ugly loss. It's a blemish.
Yes.
And if they lose this game to Washington, which is coming up this afternoon, it puts, if you wanted to question the Badgers, it does put into what are they doing, because sometimes they beat all these top teams. They've knocked off plenty of quad one teams, and then they've crapped the bed as well.
Yep.
And so, like, what are you doing? Who are you? Are you this inconsistent team? Do you play to your opponent's level when you're supposed to be playing to the level above you? So, like, those are question marks that can be opened. And I agree, there's not a super high chance that a loss to Washington knocks them down. But it could knock them down to be the bottom 60, and then you could have maybe a matchup or travel that you don't like. I don't worry too much about the momentum side of it either way. I agree with you on that. But from this whole thing, it has the potential to put the Badgers in a bad spot as far as if other teams win and things start going weird ways, and all of a sudden they might be the team and they're the number 1-7 seed instead of the number 4-6 seed.
Yeah, I think that's a fair concern. And we just saw Miami of Ohio lose. Their undefeated season's over. That means you're going to get a bid stealer from the MAC that's coming in. So one bubble team is for sure gone now. So I understand that concern. I just think that they're firmly on the sixth line. I'm pretty sure they'd be one of the top two six seeds. The other six seeds are St. John's, I think, is in there. Like, I'm not worried about that. Or the seven seeds as well. And there are two, Purdue and what's the other Big Ten team? Purdue and Nebraska are firmly on the three seed line for the Big Ten team. So it looks like there's only two matchups the Badgers are going to get from the selection committee, they're either facing Iowa State or Alabama in the round of 32. So I think it's pretty much a lock. Obviously, there's chaos that's going to happen.
I'm just saying, like, let's say the Badgers lose to Washington. We got Iowa and Ohio State playing right now. If Iowa with 21 wins runs the table, which I don't think they're going to.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's what I'm talking about. It's the wonky. So it has more than no impact. Because, Riley, I think the other way, that if they get to the championship game, they've probably knocked off a few more quad one teams along the way. And obviously, it's going to be taken with a grain of salt, and it's a little bit of a tournament side of things, but their resume looks better, their wins look better. If they win the whole thing, usually by the time the Big Ten tournament's wrapped up, they have it all kind of into place. So if they're there, I think that matters just as much as anything else. But then you could, going the other way, of higher-seeded teams or teams that you thought might be in front of them, they slip a little bit, and then all of a sudden the Badgers go and win a couple in a row here, including some quad one victories, and they look maybe they're the bottom five seed. So we all can agree and hope that it would go that way, so we have to acknowledge that there's a percentage chance it could go the other way.
Yes, I'll admit there's a very small percentage chance that they drop or they rise. But now that makes me wonder, Jim, would you want the Badgers, say they go on a run in the Big Ten tournament, would you want them to win the tournament and get into a five seed, last five seed of the tournament?
Actually, I want to ask it like this, because yes, if you get a higher seed, absolutely, but let's ask it like this. Would you rather they lose on Saturday to have Sunday off and not, and if they're going to lose, or even if they're going to win or lose, like, would you rather just have them lose on Saturday? Because it honestly, in your world, and I think you're 100% right, where the most likely outcome, the 85-90% outcome, is that the tournament will have no effect on the Badgers, assuming health and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
That if they win today, and so that they play again tomorrow then, right?
Yep.
So they win today, they win tomorrow, and they lose on Saturday. Isn't that kind of the best case scenario? They got some wins in there. They've really locked up their spot. They're feeling good about themselves, but they haven't overexerted themselves. I know they get some days off, but still, these kids are not used to playing back to back to back. And I know they're college kids, but still, you give them a little bit of leeway because you got the travel, you got the nerves, like just a little bit extra time to wrap your brain around the whole thing. Saturday might be the best day for the Badgers to lose.
Yeah, that sweet spot, that balance. Yeah, because I think if the Badgers get all the way to the championship game, you got to play the game anyway. Just win. Like, they've made the championship game a few years, I feel like twice out of the past, like, 3 or 4 years, and they haven't won. So if you get to the game, just win. But, yeah, you get two wins. I think the Badgers 2014 Final Four team, they won their first game and then lost their second before going on their run. So I think, yeah, either you win or you don't make it to the championship game. Then you're warm, you got your games in, and you move forward. You don't care about the loss. Not a big deal. You're playing good teams. You're confident. You know you can beat anyone. The Badgers know they can beat anyone at this point. I don't think their ceiling is in question any longer. Get a win. That's the thing. So if you win today, just get a win under your belt and move on. Who cares? The rest is gravy.
Yeah, even if they lose after today, I agree with you. It's all set. And getting time for players to get either healthier, obviously the time, if someone like Janicki or Winter needs more time before the tournament, the NCAA tournament, win or loss isn't going to matter.
Exactly.
Like, they still get the same amount of days. So the only case would be if you're winning and Janicki and Winter are playing a little bit to get them a little bit more sea legs to kind of extend their win. So if they're playing 10-minute restrictions, maybe by the time if they played two games on the Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament could be 15 in that first weekend. And then maybe it's a little bit more for that second weekend. So there are some small things in play. Riley out here trying to ruin the Big Ten tournament for everyone.
I don't care. The Badgers could lose to Washington today, and I will not care. I will not be panicked. I'm not going to be concerned whatsoever.
Do you not like conference tournaments?
I do like conference tournaments, but they don't matter. Like, I remember how awesome. I was at a bar last year watching their win over Michigan State, I think it was. Yes.
Yeah.
Where John Tanjay had the strip right at the end of the game. It was awesome. And I remember me and all my family, we were like crowded around my phone because we were in Iowa watching this game. And it rocked. I love the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
But we didn't make the second weekend, so it didn't matter. I didn't remember the big win over Michigan State because we didn't make it to the Sweet 16.
That's fair. It's just for me, this is when, like, for the rest of college basketball, I lock in. Like, obviously, the Badgers have been paying attention to. Now, I'm
be honest, I didn't know Miami of Ohio was undefeated.
Exactly.
So I mean, I had no idea.
Like,
I learned that today when I got the ESPN alert that they lost.
Yep.
So I'm very much, I watch Badger basketball. That's why you don't hear me talk much about the Big Ten in general. Mm-hmm. I've seen some Michigan. They look really good.
Michigan's really good.
Really, really good. It is interesting. They don't have a, they obviously have plenty of talented college players, but mm-hmm. they don't have a ton. Like, they have one guy who's like an NBA draft pick this year, at least mm-hmm. as far as a lottery pick. So, and I'm going to forget his name. I think number 23. I know the number. I just can't remember his name.
I couldn't rip that off the top of my head. I know it's a
little bit of a, it's a little bit of a funky name is why. Yeah, it's just like a longer like last name. And so I'm just not going to take it. I know it if I saw it. But yeah, number 23 on Michigan's good.
Yeah, maybe when Pablo joins later as our guest, I can I can do a little research on that. But yeah, it seems like Rutgers has a lot random lottery pick on their roster every year, and they suck still.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter really. It matters to an extent, but not really for the college game for March Madness. The level of NBA caliber talent you have, it doesn't always seem to fully match up with success on the college level, which is interesting.
Yaxel Lennenborg.
Okay, Lennenborg. Okay,
yes.
I've definitely heard that name before. I would never have come up with that in a million years.
6'9", 240, and he looks like an NBA guy, too.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, so he is a heck of a player, grad transfer. So, I mean, they have good players there at Michigan. But let's talk about the postseason. And specifically, Riley, we're going to talk about the snubs in the postseason mm-hmm. awards. I'm going to be honest here. I thought both Nick Boyd and John Blackwell could have been bumped up a level. Boyd mm-hmm. was definitely snubbed, but
yes.
I thought Blackwell could have been third-team All-American. And I hate to use the word snub because Boyd's honestly his biggest fault is that he's in a really tough conference.
Yes.
And he's a hell of a basketball player, and he just got bumped down to number two, but... So it's like I don't know if I want to use the word snub. He was very deserving and had every right to be all Big Ten first team.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I can't really argue with like players above him.
The selections are tough. I think you could argue Price Sanford. I don't think Sanford of Nebraska was leading Boyd in any statistical category. I need to fact check myself on that.
But Nebraska's a little bit.
But Nebraska, better team. And that's the thing. I think the better teams get the more benefit of the doubt, which is frustrating, as well as preseason polls. Like, Jeremy Fears, he leads the country in assists, which is fair. But he's also a dirty player, and he doesn't do anything else. So I think that should be factored into the equation when you're making these selections.
I just saw him play against Michigan, and I was pretty impressed. Like,
yeah, he falls down, kicks someone in the nuts. Like, come on, what are we doing?
What is he, Brad Davison? No.
Hey, Brad was...
He's our guy. That's
exactly.
It. That's why
it
was I said
different.
That's why I said
Brad
it.
Just took hard charges. Everything he did was accidental.
Uh-huh. Yep. Just like J.J. Redick. That's what all the Duke fans will tell you about him. So
exactly.
I also want to give a shout-out here to Sharif Chambliss. Won the Howard Moore Assistant Coach of the Year Award. I love that. That's the name of the award. I love that he won it. Sharif is a fantastic coach. And I think he's got, I guess, bad news for the Badgers. I do think he has potential to be a head coach sooner than later.
Yeah, would not shock me. We've had him on the Jump Around a couple times, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And very well spoken. Seems like an easy guy to play for. Really fun from everything we've heard in the locker room, from players we've interviewed. Seems like an awesome dude. And Pablo said this yesterday during our pre-show meeting. I had no idea that they named the award after Howard Moore, which is phenomenal.
Again, I learned that when he got it. And I should have maybe known that with a road at night and everything. But
mm-hmm.
Howard Moore obviously being properly honored with that. And I love that the Big Ten did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that Chambliss won it. All right, let's get to our clip of the week.
Around these parts, there's only time for the best of the Badgers.
We don't know exactly where we are right now.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better significantly.
They're spoiled rotten.
This is the clip of the week on the Jump Around.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
Yeah, it is time for the clip of the week, and for this week's clip, Greg Gard just did an interview with Badgers basketball color commentator Brian Butch earlier in the week, and Butchie was asking him about misconceptions about the Wisconsin basketball program and how other teams try to negatively recruit against Wisconsin. And Greg Gard had a pretty great answer to that.
You know, now they can't say that, could never say you don't win. Could never say that you don't get a great education here at Wisconsin. Great experience. Tried to knock on the style of play, but you know, you stack that up to winning and it blows that out of the water. And now they can't do that. So the latest one that we've heard is that I'm taking a job at a blue blood school. That's the that's the latest negative recruiting thing, is that Guard has done such a good job navigating the portal and the NIL world and how he has adapted and adjusted to that. Yeah, he isn't going to be there. You know, he's there. He's going to get tabbed by. I'm like, okay, I've heard them all now.
Greg Guard getting swiped by a blue blood is currently the big negative recruiting pitch towards players that want to come to Wisconsin, which got me thinking, where, Jim, do you rank Greg Guard all time amongst Badgers head coaches?
I'm sorry, I first have to throw a curveball at you.
Okay.
If there was one blue blood that would scare you for Greg Guard, because I put everything like a 1% chance.
Yeah.
So like, what blue blood would scare you for Greg Guard to want to go leave Wisconsin for?
I mean, it's hard to think of any off the top of my head. Kentucky was the first one that came to my mind because they're sort of middling right now. I think they're projected to be a 7 seed. Like, they're
forgetting even like what's open. I'm just saying, like, what job besides Wisconsin do you think would even pull?
That's the thing. He's from he's from Cobb, Wisconsin. He's the most Wisconsin guy of all time. Michigan now has their guy in Dusty May. It'd have to be a Big Ten school. Maybe Michigan State. Tom Izzo retires. Michigan State comes calling. We want you, Greg Guard. I think he'd listen, but I'd be hard pressed. I'd be shocked if he left Wisconsin.
I agree with you. And he's not going to leave.
That's
I just like to have every once in a while throw it out there. It would be the money allowed at the program for a blue blood to be somewhere, because Greg Guard obviously loves basketball. When I think of blue blood, I think you said Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Guard would have to strongly consider Kentucky. He's a basketball guy, and Kentucky basketball is the sport.
Mm-hmm.
In Kentucky,
yes,
not just for the college. So if you're a basketball guy, being the head coach at Kentucky, having all those resources and all that fandom, I honestly think it would be negligent for him at least not like take a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one you'd probably be least mad at if you left, right? Because you'd be like, it's Kentucky.
It's Kentucky, and we beat them, and we got our revenge in 2015. Yeah. So it's like, I don't care.
But it's just like one of those things, like, it's Kentucky. Like, you can't – what school would break your heart?
Duke.
Duke?
Duke. You can't.
I thought you'd say Marquette.
No, Marquette, that'd be stupid. That would just piss me off. That would make me very angry. If Greg Guard left to go to Marquette, I would be pissed. That would frustrate me. But Duke would be like, really?
Okay.
Like, come on. You're like, you can't go to Duke, man. Like, not Duke.
All right, so to your question about where does Greg Guard rank, and I know that Craig Karmazin and the crew for Sunday Karma had him right in a Dick Bennett era. So I just kind of put this through some research here, and Bo Ryan, obviously number one, four Big Ten titles, two Final Fours, 2015 National Championship game appearance, 764 winning percentage at Wisconsin, Basketball Hall of Famer, oh, by the way, multiple championships outside of the University of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So
That's pretty clear-cut, number one.
We're going to keep this to the modern era because I'm just going to give a shout-out to this guy because I feel like his name is never said. Do you know who Walter Doc Meanwell is?
Walter Doc? Is that a nickname?
Doc is the nickname.
Okay, Walter Doc Meanwell?
Yep.
Never heard of him.
Badgers coach from 1911 to 1934.
Wow.
1917 national champion.
Okay.
14 Big Ten titles, built Wisconsin into a national power.
All right.
So, like, I'm not...
Shout-out Doc.
It's a different era. It's a different era.
Peach basket era.
Yeah. I'm going to be, and look, special recognition. You know, Stan Van Gundy was a coach here for a year.
Yep.
Stu Jackson was a coach here for a year. Wild times.
It's pretty cool.
Steve Yoder was decent. Obviously, guards in front of him. The real question is he in front of behind Dick Bennett?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go guard number two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's in the Dick Bennett area. I think he's in the Bo Ryan area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know we all love Dick Bennett here at Good Karma and just in general because that Final Four team. But Dick Bennett was here for 5 seasons, and he's a great, great coach.
the program was in kind of a weird spot when he left, and Bo lifted it to another level. The program, like Dick Bennett, hell of a basketball coach. The program was elevated dramatically when Bo Ryan came in. And I don't even want to get into the fact that if Bo Ryan was hired the first time instead of Dick Bennett, where this program, they might have actually they could have gotten that championship with a little bit more time for Bo. But great guard, in my opinion. I put him number two. The tournament success or lack of it's the only thing holding him back.
Yep. Wasn't that a knock on Bo Ryan, though, for a long time?
So the knock on Bo was he's only going to the Sweet 16.
Okay.
So we're tired of Sweet 16s. So, and then I think he had one Elite Eight, maybe. I can't remember who was with that team. And then a lot of Sweet 16s.
Okay.
And then people would get mad that they only got to the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he – I can't remember off the top of my head him ever losing the first game of the tournament. Ever. And he always had 20 wins, always finished in the top four in the Big Ten, had a couple 30-win seasons. So Greg Gard's got a long way to go to get there, but I think he's kind of dug out number two on his own. And there's no disrespect to Dick Bennett, but Gard's been a coach since 2015. So he's been here longer.
Yep.
And he needs to do more, but it's a different era too.
Yes.
And you have to account for the era. It is a different world.
And the fact that he was able to adapt from a completely different era of basketball when he started in 2015 to where we're at now, I think is incredibly impressive.
I was factored in. My last bit of blasphemy against Dick Bennett, because I think he's a great coach. He's a great guy. I've met him a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the style of play, because I'm not going all Roy Williams on Dick Bennett, but Dick Bennett, when he coached here, college basketball from 1999 to 2000, I believe that's when he was here, 1995 to 2000, excuse me, that era of college basketball is closer to the Doc Meanwell era than what Greg Gard is coaching in right now.
That's a fair – it's not an unfair
I'm not
take.
Talking about style of play.
That's not an
I'm not talking about any of that. But in 1995 through 2000 college basketball, the actual way it was run –
Probably
feels
a lot
dramatically
more similar.
Almost the same as it would have been during that other era.
Yep.
Student athletes, can't give them anything. Gotta go to school.
You're
gotta
here to
hold
go to
GPA.
School
gotta
and
do the
get
whole thing.
Job. Yes. That's your goal. If you get to professional basketball, awesome.
Yeah.
But get an education. That's
exactly.
It. You're here
exactly.
to play basketball.
And Bo had to deal with the one and done era more and the higher recruitment era more than Dick did, and obviously Greg now even on a higher level. All right, we're going to get to Pablo in a second here, that's right, but I do want to get to Twitter portal.
It's time for the Badgers Twitter portal.
It is time to enter the Badgers Twitter portal, and let's start looking ahead a little bit. We're talking Big Ten tournament today, but we have talked a little bit about the NCAA tournament as well. Here's a tweet from Ryan Wing up at Fox 11. The over-under for Bama Wisconsin would be through the roof as Fox College Hoops projects that Wisconsin would be a 6th seed facing Alabama if both teams make it there in the round of 32. From all of the bracketology I've seen, there are only two opponents that the Badgers could get in the round of 32. That is 3-seeded Iowa State or 3-seeded Alabama if everything holds. Who would you rather see, Iowa State or Alabama, for a trip to the Sweet 16?
It's tough. And just going off of style of play, Bama is faster. They shoot a ton of threes, and they're going to try to turn this into a track meet, and they have blemishes in the half court. So Wisconsin, again, I'm not, as Greg Gard pointed out, they don't play at the Dick Bennett pace, but I still think compared to Alabama, they might play a little bit slower and feel comfortable doing it. So even in this case, that I think the Badgers can go fast and slow, with somewhere being in the middle, slow being relative nowadays. And I think that they could slow it down a little to get Alabama out of their comfort zone. Because teams will play fast. It's not like they can't play slow in the half court, but they want to play fast to get rhythm, and then they feel more comfortable in the half court. I don't think the Badgers need to play fast to get rhythm, so if they can keep it, you know, instead of playing at a 10, you're knocking it down to like a 7.5 or 8, still quick basketball, but a little different. I think that can make Bama a little bit uncomfortable. My general
overall look at Iowa State, since we talked about this ahead of time, I just looked into them a little bit. I think they're more capable of playing Badger basketball, quote-unquote,
yes,
which is still not what it used to be.
Old-school Badger
but
basketball.
But honestly, they might play the Badger old-school way better than the Badgers do now. Mm-hmm. And Iowa State, honestly, reminds me more of those physical Badger teams that could play fast or slow, the Bo Ryan-era Badgers, which I think could be a bad matchup for this team.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Wisconsin, they're undefeated when they score over 80 points in a game. Bama is going to give them tons of possessions. They will be able to score over 80 points. The Badgers win track meets. That's what
yep.
we've seen.
Yep.
When they're in a defensive slug, they struggle, i.e. the Minnesota games that yep. were able to be slowed down a bit. I also like Alabama. I'd much prefer that matchup. And now we're in March Madness, arguably the greatest season of the sports calendar. So, Jim,
yep.
this is a long list here. Keep three, cut nine sporting events. You have March Madness, NBA playoffs, WNBA playoffs, Stanley Cup Finals, college football playoff, NFL playoffs, MLB postseason, College World Series, Wimbledon, World Cup, the Olympics, the Masters. You don't even need to keep three.
All
even
right.
pick the top one. If you don't have three right off the top of your head, you can just go with your number one.
I think this is easy. I would go college. I mean, not in specific order. College yep. football playoffs, NFL playoffs, March Madness.
Okay. Nice. I'm almost identical. College football playoff, March Madness, MLB playoffs.
Okay.
Over
yep.
the NFL.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah. I think that's a great list there. We have Pablo Iglesias ready to go on the other side here. Is he ready to join us?
Yes.
Down at the Big Ten tournament. All right. Well,
yes, he is.
Well, we get ready to go to him. You spend more than 2,500 hours a year on your mattress. So, is yours actually working for you? It's time to upgrade your sleep game during Steinhoffel's Mattress Madness. Their sleep experts will match you with the perfect mattress so you can wake up rested, refreshed, and ready to take on the day. Shop all the top brands at unbeatable prices, plus enjoy free delivery and a 120-night sleep guarantee so you can rest easy knowing you made the right choice. Shop Mattress Madness in-store or at steinhoffels.com today. Pablo Iglesias next.
It's the happy-go-lucky sale at Steinhoffels. Get lucky with at least 10% off store-wide. Then get an extra 7% off when you spend $7.99 or more. Plus, make it yours today with 18-month financing, because great style should fit your budget, too. From sofas, dining, and bedrooms, we've got the largest selection of the latest styles in stock and ready to go. The happy-go-lucky sale, only at Steinhoffels. Shop in-store and online at steinhoffels.com.
All right, we are joined by Pablo Iglesias. Where are you hanging out down in Chicago? Is that the media room there, Pablo?
Able to hear us, Pablo?
I'm going to go ahead and say he cannot hear us.
It appears he cannot at the moment.
So Pablo Iglesias will be joining us once he can hear us. Now I hear
some
sounds
audio.
Of the is that the media room you're at, Pablo, or where are you at the
You guys got
United
me
Center?
Now?
Yeah,
now
we got
we
you. Yeah.
Okay, cool. We're trying to troubleshoot some things, but it's all right. We make it happen here in March. There we go. Did you guys lose me? Am I back now?
Yeah, you're back now. That, yeah.
Right as hey, you're saying we make right. it happen.
Well, hey, you know what? That's wild. Hey, just right off the bat, I think we need to make sure if I'm Wisconsin, just to jump off the bat, guys, is make sure that you have a clean start. So hey, let's have a clean slate. Let's move on to this. Excited to be here though. I'm in the media room, it just also feels like old times real quick. I used to freelance here. This is 2017 when I used to cover Bulls games when they were not a fun product to watch, don't get me wrong, but to get to be here, get to experience Big Ten tournament, it's just an exciting atmosphere. You can feel the energy right now. I could hear the crowd from the Iowa game that's going on the court over here to my right. Just want to make sure that I didn't bother anybody that's working in the press area, so came over here for a more quieter area.
I love covering the Big Ten tournament. I never covered it in Chicago. I covered it in Indiana. That's where it was most of the time when I was covering this team. But some of the most fun I had, one, I got the sweetest seat. I don't know how or why, but I was like one or two rows off of the floor, like, you know, kind of that press row down there. I would just go down there as a college basketball junkie back in the day and watch all the games. So I remember seeing Evan Turner making a half-court shot for Ohio State and some great games. I also remember almost physically flinching at one point between, I think it was the Badgers and Michigan State, with the amount of bricks they were laying up, and they got the mic on the actual rim and just clank, clank, clank. It, like, you honestly started being like, I can't hear it again, because it was one of the lowest scoring games. Like, it's something in the 50s, I swear. But Pablo, we're not going to see that today for the Badgers against Washington. What's your feel on this team, and what do you think they will do? Let's focus on today. What do you think they'll do today?
What I want Wisconsin to do right off the jump is get to a quick start, like I mentioned. Will we see Braden Carrington break or come close to breaking the school record in triples again? Probably not, but I do want to see Wisconsin get off to that fast start, play error-free basketball. I know it's straightforward, but I think the sooner you do that, the more that you're able to get into control in this game. Wisconsin's able to sit those starters and prepare for the next day. Again, take care of business, get the win, but that's what I really want to see from the Badgers is get off to a hot start, stay consistent, and don't get in your own way.
Pablo, are you aware of what's currently going on in the game between Iowa and Ohio State?
It's been pretty chaotic, I'm not going to lie. Getting in, getting the credential, making sure that you're all situated and doing some pregame stuff. So I've been tuning in and out. So fill me in. What's happening?
So Ohio State's up 70-68. It's about to be this. It's going to be a photo finish between the Buckeyes who are on the bubble and Iowa. But I digress. I personally don't think the result of this Ohio State-Iowa game is really going to matter. Well, it matters a little bit for Ohio State. But outside of that, I think they're probably a little more secure. I think for the Badgers specifically, that Big Ten tournament doesn't matter. It does not matter in the slightest. I'm not concerned, even if they inexplicably lose to Washington, which we know they're prone to do. I think they are secure as a six seed. They are fine. Do you agree with that statement? How much do you think the Big Ten tournament matters?
I at least feel like that it's a good palate cleanser. It's a good way to go into the March Madness tournament, because let's be real, guys. We know for sure that Wisconsin is a lock. It's crazy to think where we were in December early on, thinking that this team was on the outside looking in. That's far beyond, like, well, not a thought anymore. The fact that now that it's just, how can you pad that resume? How can you make yourself look even better to the committee? Is, I think, what is the big focus here. So I don't know if I would say that it doesn't matter with what Wisconsin's performance looks like. I think today, go in there, take care of business, do what you can, and win in a very convincing fashion. Because honestly, again, not to look too far ahead into tomorrow, but I still think it's important because, you know, you play super great basketball and then you go into these next matchups. Most likely you're going to be facing a top 25 team, and the winner of this game for Wisconsin plays Illinois, which has been known to be one of the perennial favorites to win the national championship this year. So you get to face a national championship team right off the bat here in the conference tournament.
Pablo Iglesias joins us on the Yuengling guest hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. Ohio State leads 72-69. Ohio State missed a few shots. Iowa couldn't get the rebound and then fouled Ohio State. So there's a chance here. But here's the problem, Riley. I almost want to make Pablo go away. I knew something big happened with the shots because
you can hear the crowd behind you
go
Pablo.
Crazy when whatever happens in this scenario. So with this setup here, Pablo, I kind of went with, I think Saturday is actually almost the perfect day for the Badgers to lose. There's not a ton for them to gain. It's unlikely that them winning the Big Ten tournament would get them a higher seed. It's not impossible, just like it's not impossible if they lost, they would hurt them. But I think the most likely scenario is that they sit where they're at. And so for me, win a couple games, get knocked on Saturday, especially if you knock off in Illinois, you're going to feel really good about yourself.
Yeah, honestly, for me, even if the Badgers, again, you got to make sure that you advance it tomorrow. You got to make sure you take it one day at a time. You only get 40 minutes guaranteed, right? So take care of business today. Like I said, that's the big thing. But if you do advance it tomorrow, I mean, even if you put up a good fight, because at the end of the day, you're facing a top 25 team. You're facing a team that's known to be a great offense in Illinois. As long as you put up a fight and don't lose in a way where you're just knocked out of the building, I think that even is a win for Wisconsin heading into the tournament. So, again, I would love to see Bucky upset Illinois in Chicago. Don't get me wrong. But even a convincing loss, if you will, a good fight. Because this team could go toe-to-toe with anyone. They could lose to anyone. But, of course, we want to see the former. So I would say, again, maybe a loss tomorrow if you do advance to that, assuming so, is not a bad thing for the Badgers if you make it a close game.
Yeah, that's how I'm feeling, Pablo. And have you seen the team at all today? Have you been able to talk to anyone on the squad? Have you been able to observe anything that's going on with the Badgers?
You know, actually, I just grabbed a video here. I noticed that Braden Carrington and Austin Rapp were outside of the tunnel just waiting and watching a little bit of the game. Because, I mean, I think that's the cool thing is that you don't get this opportunity all the time, right? Even though it's a conference tournament, you get to see some of the games before. Badgers take the court 25 minutes after this game. So it's cool to see how calm and collected they are when I just happen to notice them standing outside of the tunnel. And these are guys, too, who are transfers. This is a new experience for them, even though Braden Carrington was at Minnesota. You get Austin Rapp is coming from a mid-major conference. It's a cool experience, and I think for these two guys, for the way that they've risen up recently, I would not be shocked if they are feeling in the best way, the chills. So I loved getting to see that they're already taking in the atmosphere before they even take the court for warm-ups.
Bob, well, the last thing I have for you is how far do you think Wisconsin goes, and who do you think will be playing in the Big Ten championship game?
I feel like that my heart says that they could take down Illinois, but you know what? I think the Badgers actually can set themselves up for an upset. I truly do. Now, when it comes down to it, I still feel like that Michigan is a top dog for a reason. I think the Wolverines have a good path for them. We'll see if the Badgers could play upset, but right now I think if the Badgers get a win against Illinois, that's a big one for me. I see at least Saturday. I could see a true path for Saturday for the Badgers, but I'm going with the Wolverines, the top dog in this one.
All right, Pablo, great stuff. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
That was Pablo Iglesias, and you can watch back this show on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison's YouTube stream. And Pablo and all guests are brought to you on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. Riley, before we get out here, I want to see how this game wraps up.
Yeah, this finishes up.
It looks like it's going to be Ohio State's ball, but we'll see. Iowa took a shot.
Did they even get a shot up?
Well, they got a shot up, but it maybe landed on top of the backboard. There's a lot of arguing going on. So before we get to figure out what's happening, if it's Ohio State's ball, we'll just call it. But the Big 12, I'm not sure what court they're playing on.
That was going to be a part of the Twitter portal, but we had to get to Pablo Iglesias. Yeah. What do you think of the court? Let me put up a pic. I have a picture of it for our audience.
Because I have to, and I'm never usually someone that's like in the middle, but I really have to still digest it. I don't hate it. Honestly, initially, it almost seemed like the TV was broken, and I didn't do much. Like, my eyes initially were like, that's so strange.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, the white jerseys, I think, blend too much as opposed to the red jerseys. So, example, right now, Iowa State is playing Texas Tech. And, like, the Texas Tech, like, one of the players has got some pretty electric shoes on, and they pop on the black and white.
Yeah.
And that looks awesome. But black shoes, as I see here, white socks, white uniform, that blends too much. So,
yeah.
I actually like the court. But I feel like if you're going to play on this court, both teams should have like more of an alternate, brighter color.
Yeah, or if you're going to play on a court that can literally become anything in the world, anything you want it to be, why is it this gray monotone monstrosity?
See, I don't hate like, it.
It's
such a different aesthetic, but it's the white jerseys that blend into it. Because I think the Iowa State jerseys, it's almost like film noir. Like I'm watching
black and white.
Yeah. With the color pop, like in Wizard of Oz. All of a sudden, you start adding color to it. But it does look worse when it's the white jerseys because then they get washed. I think gray would be bad too. So I think if you're going to do this, both teams should be allowed to have a little fun with their jerseys.
Yes, I think that's fair. Or I think I've seen this proposed on the internet, which I really like. Oh, buzzer beaters just up for Iowa.
That was
Ohio
a good
State.
Look by 24 from Iowa.
Big win for the Buckeyes. I did see a lot of places where they're a lock for the tournament now, but still good. They're good to be safe if you're Ohio State. That's a big win for them. But you think they need pop on the gray court.
Don't use it. One of the two.
Yes.
Like, it's just one or the other.
I think I've seen this proposed. You could just do a split court like they do for football bowl games where they have the end zones painted like the team.
Yeah.
Just take each team's court and split it right in the middle. You could even put the Big 12 logo if you want, but then the opposite side of the court look like each team. I think that would be sick. And if you have the technology, why aren't you doing more with it than just copying the court you had last year when it was just wood? I don't understand.
That's a good point. All right. If missing today's show, you can listen back on ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. He's Riley Yauch for Pablo Iglesias. I'm Jim Rutledge, and this has been The Jump Around.